Good morning, everyone. Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 2. Okay, Leviticus chapter 2. Now, when anyone presents a grain offering as an offering to the Lord, his offering shall be a fine flour, and he shall pour oil on it and put frankincense on it. And he shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, and shall take from its handful of his fine flour and its oil and all that is frankincense, and the priest shall offer it up in smoke as a memorial, as its memorial portion on the altar, an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. And the remainder of the grain offering belongs to Aaron and his sons, a thing most holy of the offering of the Lord's to the Lord by fire. Now when you bring an offering of a grain offering baked in an oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour mixed with oil, or unleavened wafers spread with oil. And if your offering is a grain offering made on the griddle, it shall be a fine flour unleavened mixed with oil. You shall break it into bits and pour oil on it. It is a grain offering. And if your offering is a grain offering made in the pan, it shall be made of fine flour with oil. When you bring in the grain offering, which is made of these things to the Lord, it shall be presented to the priest, and he shall bring it to the altar. The priest then shall take up from the grain offering its memorial portion, and shall offer it up in smoke on the altar as an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. And the remainder of the grain offering belongs to Aaron and his sons, a thing most holy of the offerings to the Lord by fire. No grain offering which you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven, for you shall not offer up in smoke any leaven or any honey as an offering by fire to the Lord. As an offering of your first fruits, you shall bring them to the Lord, but they shall not ascend for a soothing aroma on the altar. Every grain offering of yours, moreover, you shall season with salt, so that the salt of the covenant of your God shall not be lacking from your grain offering. With all your offerings, you shall offer salt. Also, if you bring a grain offering of early ripened things to the Lord, you shall bring fresh heads of grain roasted in the fire, grits of new growth for the grain offering of your early ripened things. You shall then put oil on it and lay incense on it. It is a grain offering. And the priest shall offer up in smoke its memorial portion, part of its grits and its oil with all its incense as an offering by fire to the Lord. Amen. So the beginning here, Lord lays a distinction about bloody sacrifices and bloodless sacrifices. So chapter 1 and 2 are just the bare bones introduction of how he wants really the sacred rite of offering to be laid out. So the first chapter 1 was dealing with blood sacrifices. And, you know, last week we talked about the importance of blood. Remember, there's life is in the blood. And so the only thing that brings forgiveness of sins is blood. And then now we get to the grain offering, which now he's dealing with a bloodless sacrifice. And really the grain offering, I think more than anything else, was really to deal with the caring of the priests. Remember, as a priest, you could not take a job. I know that in our day and age, there's a lot of people that are priests but also do work, right? In other words, they're bivocational. But in this day, in the Levitical order, you could not take a job. In other words, you couldn't farm, you couldn't do anything. And so God made a provision to take care of the priests, to take care of the ones that were administering in the house of God, which I think is very similar to this day. Part of the tithe, and by the way, the word offering is probably better translated just simply as a gift. And so in that same way, when we're giving to the house of God, part of that giving takes care of the needs of the priests, of the ministers that minister in his house. And so he talks about here that when you bring this grain offering to the Lord, it's same thing, right? And he distinguished baked in a pan, baked in an oven. You know, it really doesn't matter how you bake it. It's the same process. It's fine flour that you present to the Lord. In other words, something that you have to work at. All right, so you're not just bringing the grain head. You actually is a part of your labor involved in creating the flour, but not just flour, but fine flour. And if you know the process of, you know, even how you make bread. Anyone ever make bread on their own? Okay, it's all right. It's not a difficult process, but it is a process. And think of these guys as farmers. The gift that they offer to God, what I want to say through this, is a gift of labor more than anything else. And so they're farmers. They have to go and take the wheat, you know, the grain. They have to, first of all, they have to till the land, wheat to grow, and then they have to cut the wheat, and then take off the grain of the wheat, and then smash it into fine flour, and then bake it or cook it in some way. And so this should really speak to us in terms of the gift that we offer to God. It's really a fruit of our labor. Right? And now, in our day and age, we work, obviously we're not an agricultural society anymore. At least I don't know anyone in SP that still works in farming in some way. I could be wrong. I guess the closest person that I would know actually would be Kenny's aunt, right, that actually has a kind of a organic farm on her property. But other than that, there's probably nobody here. And so our labor would be our jobs, and we get paychecks. And because we work hard and we get these paychecks, we can offer a gift out of that paycheck. And so each time he's talking here, he's really talking about the fruit of your hands, the labor of your hands. You bring it to God's house. Now, the labor of God's hands is good, okay? But to really make it a blessing, what do you have to add in each of the elements? Oil. Isn't that interesting? Right? So you would think that, okay, God, this is the labor of my hands. This is the flour, you know, whatever. I give it to you. But God always says, I want you to add oil to it. Now, this, obviously, in the Bible, whenever you look through Old Testament, New Testament, oil always represented the Holy Spirit, always represented the anointing. And so in this regard, the way that we can take it in our day and age is that even the work that you have, even your ability to work, is given to you by God. You cannot do what you do without the Holy Spirit. And so it's this continual reminder to the Israelites that when you, even if you have this oil, you have this thing, it's still, you know, make sure you recognize the work of the Holy Spirit, you know, the work of God to allow you to work. It's a tragedy that happens in our life when we begin to think that we did it all ourselves. You know what I mean? You know, that oh, it's because I'm smart and because I studied hard and, you know, because of this and that. But the reality is everything that's given by God. Remember, James, every good and perfect gift, right, comes down from the Father of light, in whom there's no variation or shifting shadow. And so every good thing that's in your life is given to you by God, comes down from the Father of light. God has graciously given you your intellect, given you your personality. And so every gift here, these bloodless gifts, you know, he says, make sure you add the oil to it. And when you do that, it is sanctified. Another way you can think about that is adding the oil is, we can think about it in this way, of really acknowledging God's providence and God's hand in even allowing me to give this offering. See, there could be an idea for us as we give our gifts, our tithes and offerings to the Lord. There could be an idea that, man, I worked really hard. God, I'm giving you this. And if you remember a few weeks ago when I talked about giving, the reality is everything belongs to God, right? And I said it's not really how much you give, it's how much you keep. And so when you have that kind of mentality, you're giving back to God what belongs to Him anyway. And so in a way, when we add the oil, it's acknowledging, Lord, this is yours. I couldn't do this without you, and so on and so forth. Okay, so you guys get that part? And so, and then he continues to go on, and he talks about here with the grain offering. It goes to the priest and whatnot. Then we get to another little episode, and he adds another aspect here. And he says in verse 11, no grain offering which you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven. For you shall not offer up in smoke any leaven or any honey as an offering by fire to the Lord. And so, in a way, you could say God doesn't like sweet and sour, but that's not really what it means. The reality is, these guys understood during this time that, especially in a warm climate like this, leaven spoils very easily. And so sugared bread also spoils very quickly. Unleavened actually will last a long time. They started equating this leaven and unleavened bread. Obviously, we only use unleavened bread during the Passover and these type of things. But the idea is the Hebrews equated, in terms of the offering, all these things, leaven, which was sweet or sour bread that would be given to the Lord, and it was equated with hypocrisy and injustice. In other words, that very thing that is hypocritical or unjust will eventually spoil. And so when we operate in hypocrisy or operate in injustice, eventually what's going to happen, it's going to come back to bite you. It's not going to last. And so when they talked about the bread in this regard, it was associated with injustice and with hypocrisy. And so they obviously didn't want that to be a part of anything that they were doing as a people. And so it's really interesting how he lays this out. So also another aspect of this too was one scholar says that they may not have used honey because honey was used in the pagan rites in Egypt. So there could be an instance where God didn't want this to happen, primarily because they didn't want to mirror the pagan worship and the pagan sacrifices. I think that's just a little part. It mostly dealt with figuratively of this idea of hypocrisy and injustice. And so, you know, in the reality for us, when we move in hypocrisy, in other words, in falseness, it always comes back to bite us, doesn't it? You know, when we're operating in injustice, it always comes back to bite us. You reap what you sow. And so make sure that those things are not part of who you are as a people of God. And so he then says, okay, now there may be an instance where you may offer this thing, and he calls it the first fruits offering. Now, in an agricultural society, what they would do is, as soon as they see the first seedlings rise up, they would take that, and some of them would actually plant it back, you know, and thus it would secure the next harvest right away. Now, what would happen is that they would offer this first fruits. In other words, it was the best, but it could be preserved for even better or even greater harvest, but instead they would offer it up to God. And it could be like money that we save away and we can invest it and make more money off it. Instead, they offer it to the Lord. And in this first fruit offering, now he adds another element. He says, add salt to it. And so this is a contrast, okay? So Moses is doing a contrast between the leaven, you know, the sweet and sour, and how it spoils. And because it spoils, it's hypocrisy and injustice. Now he's adding the flip side of that, which is salt. What does salt do? It preserves. It takes what could be spoiled, and it actually makes it last longer. And you see how that works. Now you see when in Mark chapter 9, when Jesus talks about salt, you're like, oh, that's what he means by it. You know, the salt by fire. And then he talks about how can you keep your saltiness and these type of things. And you realize, oh, no wonder he's talking about that. You know, I mean, even for me, reading through the Gospels and it's talking about salt, I'm just like, whatever. I just take things for granted. You know what I mean? Like, okay, it talks about the Bible. okay, salt, whatever. But it has all these Old Testament roots, really dealing with preservation. And so what Jesus does in the book of Mark, in the gospel, he equates salt with the gospel. And so he talks about how the gospel preserves. So you think this way, hypocrisy and injustice, it'll wreak damage in your life when we introduce these things. But salt, but the gospel preserves us. You know, the gospel makes us fresher. The gospel makes us tasty. The gospel preserves us. And so we can understand, oh, that's what he's talking about, you know, when he's talking about salt. And so he said, every grain offering, this 13, you shall season with salt, so that the salt of the covenant of your God shall not be lacking from your grain offering, and all your offerings shall offer salt. And so this is the covenant relationship you have with God, the preserving nature of the Lord. In other words, you know, covenant is, even if you mess up, I'm still going to have your back. Even if you are unrighteous, in covenant, I'm still going to be with you. What is the most, outside of our relationship with God, what is the strongest human covenant in the scriptures? It's marriage. Okay, I know you're going to say that, right? It's marriage. And so marriage, in terms of in covenant relationship, marriage is, I accept you just the way you are. You know, nothing that you can do will undo this commitment that I'm making with you. That's why when we understand the covenant of marriage, divorce is a horrible, horrible thing, because it flies in such contrast with this issue of covenant, right? Covenant simply says, you know, you can do all kinds of things. You can be a horrible person. I'm still going to be with you because I've made that commitment with you. And so in this regard, the salt really is a picture. God, what he does, and when we come in covenant with God, God covers us with his salt. He sprinkles the salt over us, and we become preserved. We become tasty. We become effective. You know, and I mean, you know, I mean, you can talk for hours about salt, right? And especially in the Bible, when he talks about be the salt of the earth, it's really interesting how this works. You know, salt, you know the most effective way that salt works? You know how, you know what must be done to salt? You know what it is? Salt must be dissolved. Ever thought about that? Right? If salt gets dissolved, it actually becomes the most effective in its work. In other words, it fully saturates whatever thing that you're cooking. It could be meat, you know, it could be a salad. I mean, it could be all sorts of things. But when salt really is operating well, it totally dissolves and it infiltrates all things. And when he talks about being salt of the earth, it's not losing your saltiness, but it's you infiltrating. It's like the gospel, the Holy Spirit infiltrating everything around us. Right, so again, you could talk hours about this, and I don't have hours to talk about it, and so we'll just leave it at that. And so he talks about these things, and these grain offerings that we'll offer to the Lord, or offer with salt, and then it will be presented to the priest. The 14, bring a grain offering of early ripened things. This is now dealing with first fruits, and you shall bring fresh heads of grain roasted in the fire, grits of new growth for the grain offering of your early ripened things. Now, he's not talking about fine flour, all these things. He's talking about the first fruits of your offering, right? Dealing with, remember when we talk about offering and gift, it's not the 10%, it's the first 10%. That's the whole idea of it. It's the first, right? And so, you know, I was in SPSG last week, and I was talking about giving, I mentioned, I didn't mention it here in Hong Kong, but that's why this whole thing, people ask me, oh, P. Sam, should I give, you know, my net salary or my gross salary? All right? And obviously, if we're dealing with first, you're dealing with net, okay? I mean, gross is not, that's not, in other words, you gave your first to the government or whatever else. That's not the point. The first always goes to God. It says first fruits. And the priest shall offer up in smoke its memorial portion, part of its grits and its oil with its incense, an offering by fire to the Lord. It's something that's pleasing to God in that way. All right, so let's close our eyes. Touch on a lot of different things here. Now, drawing from a New Testament concept, are you being salt and light? Are you in the world but not of the world? Are you in the world and of the world? Are you losing its saltiness, as Jesus would talk about? Is there something different about us as followers of Christ? And thus, how we impact the world around us. Let's pray this morning as we meditate that we would be salt, that we be the preservation of our society, that we would bring taste. In other words, we would make this world a better place because of our relationship with Jesus.
Exalted one. Jesus, I love you. I love you. And Jesus, I love you. I love you.
Let's make sure that our lives are not like leaven, right? Hypocrisy, injustice. Our lives are more like salt. We are an offering of the Lord. The preservation, the usefulness. Let's offer up our lives to the Lord once again this morning. Let's renew our commitment to Him, our commitment to walk in His light and to be His salt. Huh? Let's pray. Go to our community focus and let's pray for our church family that are battling cancer and other chemo and recovering from surgery, cancer related. Let's ask for God's healing word and His presence to come over their families. Let's pray for our community that are sick but also need to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for that word of healing and salvation. Let's pray for our community that are battling non-cancer illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision during this time, and then God's leading to the right job. Let's go to our mission prayer focus this morning, and let's pray for China. Let's ask God to really work through this country. Let's pray for SP Beijing. Pray for their board, Regina, Kevin, P. Sam, and Chris and their families. Let's pray that the church will continue to grow, and as they're growing, there will be insight into new locations or different ways to do the service. Let's pray for our missionary, Leanne. Pray for Jesse as well. Pray for the Chung family, Matt and Nate's parents, Edie Clark. Pray for the orphanage at Chichihar and the churches, and ask God to continue to blow His Spirit all through China. Let's pray. Let's pray for our SP staff. Let's ask God's hand to be on us as we do the work of the service of building up the family of God. You'll notice there's a new name on there, Tim. Tim actually starting today. It's Tim Tang, obviously, and he's doing the local outreach. And so let's lift up Tim in his new position and all the staff that we grow in intimacy with God and in love for His people. Let's pray for our worship teams, our sound and media teams. Let's ask for God to use our teams to really lead us into the presence of God, where God speaks and where He's real. Let's pray for that heart of worship and that service. Let's also cover all of our equipment, our cameras and our projectors, and just pray that they would be used well and effectively. And let's lift up. Let's pray for our Arts Anonymous team. Let's pray for that spirit of creativity and obviously the spread, the next issue coming up. There could be other art projects throughout the church, and let's pray for a real heart of service to complete many of these projects, and let's just lift them up. let's pray for a house church meeting tonight. Kennedy, Bonham, Kowloon, Langkwai Fong, East Enders, and Old Peak Road. Let's pray for the presence of God to meet with us tonight. And as we talk about evangelism and share from the message, let's pray that real community would be built and love would be shared. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for that reminder, God. Everything we do, God, everything that we are, Lord, came from you. And so as we offer up our offerings, God, our own grain offerings, the fruit of our labor, we pray for a blessing, God. Help us never to offer to you, God, that's not worthy of you. Help us never to offer, Lord, our hypocrisy, God, or our injustice. But truly let everything be sprinkled with salt and, Lord, touched with oil, with the Holy Spirit. Thank you for that reminder this morning. Lord, watch over us this week, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and may the Lord bless you today.